The language of William Shakespeare is impressive on many levels, but it's also not the language we speak today. So the Oregon Shakespeare Festival just started a project it calls Play On, a rewriting of all the plays attributed to William Shakespeare into more modern language. We'll take a wild guess that Wherefore Art Thou Romeo will not change into Yo Romeo, Where You At? But we'll let our guests describe the goals and details of Play On. Louis Morgan Douthat is the Oregon Shakespeare Festival Director of Literary Development. Louis, good to have you back on The Exchange.
Thanks so much, Jeffrey.
And Dr. Alan Armstrong is here as well, a former professor at Southern Oregon University, one of the many dramaturgs paired with playwrights for this project. Welcome, Alan.
Thanks, Jeff. Glad to be here.
So tell us first what the genesis of the project was. Somebody thought Shakespeare needed a little reworking for modern ears, or what was the basis of the decision?
Well, it's not a new gesture, actually. We've been talking about that, Alan and I, in the last couple of days. I mean, it's been a good 300-year-plus journey. People have been doing this for some time. And so this is really the big what if. Has language in the last 400 years changed enough to sort of warrant this kind of deep dive investigation into it? I call it contemporary modern. I don't, versus early modern. I mean, Shakespeare is modern English, early modern perhaps. And so I thought, well, let's distinguish it to contemporary modern. And the reason, Jeffrey, is because I did not want Yo Dude and LOL. And so I wanted modern, which meant a kind of formal language to me, and contemporary, which was modifying modern, so that there was sort of a historical journey between early modern to contemporary language. So the idea is, think photo negative. Think the time period of the play still stays 1600. And it's the language that has this kind of, I don't know what the word is, a hybrid mash mixed to it of both Shakespeare as well as the modern dramatic poet within. And so it's going to be this very interesting, but it is a translation in that way, a mixture, I think. But the idea is that the language really must have as much rigor on it as it would have had 400 years ago.
All right, so it needs to be the good, profound stuff, not toss away street language, Alan?
Right. Yeah, I've just been working on a translation. Well, I haven't been doing the translation, but the dramaturg paired with the playwright doing the translation. Ellen McLaughlin doing the play Pericles, which, of course, is in production now at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. So I've had some experience of Ellen's translation method, and I had a query the other day from someone who wondered if the special things about Shakespeare's language, metaphorical density and rhetoric, elaborate figures, was going to be done away with to simplify the language. And that's not it at all. Ellen's aim in Pericles was to try as hard as she could to capture that, but to do it in a way that was still legible to a 21st century person. No mean feat. Getting that done.
Yeah, no, it's an odd exercise. I mean, I'm not so sure I know any, it's sort of this hybridness of it. One of their rules is first do no harm. And a lot of that has to do as much with their instructions from me, because I feel like they'll think they have to rewrite the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, hang on. There's some things that are really kind of wonderful, and I want them to remain in sort of, I want them to reach up toward, not necessarily bring down from. And I think that there'll be some successes and some really interesting things that we learn about the plays. I mean, the whole thing really is one big, gigantic research project in an interesting way. A simple assignment times 39. I decided I would just go big or stay home. So I asked to do all 39 of them at once.
Really? Not even just, you know, the first 13 or something, unless you know this works or something?
Yeah. Well, there was you asked this earlier, but there was a test pilot. I mean, we had some money to do them 4 years ago, to do some as a test pilot from sort of a literal translation, which is what we're calling this, which is what we're calling it then, to something like an adaptation, of which we know a lot how to do. I mean, every Shakespeare play in contemporary practice is an adaptation of sorts anyway, right? But so we had money to sort of do this whole range of stuff, and I asked Kenneth Cavender, who's a great translator of Greek tragedies, if he would take on this assignment as a translator, just look at it just from the sort of pure methodology of translation. And he said to me when I first proposed it to him, he said this could be a career ender for him. And I said, for me too. I said, but we're too old. Does it really matter? He goes, you're right. And so with that, we took on Timon of Athens for the obvious reason that we didn't think anyone was going to get too up in arms about Timon of Athens, that everybody would be so grateful somebody might go in and really approach this really gnarly, dark, dark play, which I think is quite terrific. And we are producing next year, and we are producing it in the original, with the original Shakespeare language, by the way. I just want to make that clear to everyone. So that started the process, and I thought, oh my God, it was just so interesting. And I thought, well, what happened if we did more of these? And that's kind of it. It just kind of ballooned, like simple thing went to 39.
Right. This whole Shakespeare translation project is called Play On. It's a 3-year project to take all of the plays of Shakespeare, the 39 plays attributed to Shakespeare, and rework them in more contemporary language. We're talking to Louis Morgan Douthat, OSF's Director of Literary Development, and Dr. Alan Armstrong, one of the dramaturgs involved in the project. You can join this discussion on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 anywhere in our listening area. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So you answered one question, at least in part so far, about whether this means you replace the versions of Shakespeare that you use on stage with these, and apparently the answer is no.
The answer is no. OSF has committed, as you know, to produce all 37 plays. I'm the one that's adding two other outlier-ish because I like them, so I thought I'd just throw it on to 39. But we've committed to produce 37 plays in 10 years, right? All will be original. Shakespeare's text will be the base for those productions. It just seemed really interesting to me in a period of deep exploration that we're about to go into because of this commitment to the canon, that to have a sort of a parallel project, which also is examining language, which it seemed like I'm taking advantage of sort of the work and the interest that's already kind of happening at OSF and expanding that.
So within each play, for example, Alan, I mean, how much free rein have you been given? I mean, are you allowed to lop out entire scenes, or is the idea being that you just change the language that is there within the existing structure?
Yeah, Louis's instructions are just the language, instructions to the playwrights. And
rule number two.
Yeah. So actually, in that sense, the translations are more rigorous than most productions are because... It's almost a tradition to cut whole scenes from particular plays, and so you those are the ones dramaturgs are often fighting for to get back to get back in.
Actors
but
too.
If you're doing two Henry IV, most often the arrest of D'Alter sheet, an interesting scene at the end of the play is gone entirely. Most plays have scenes like that, but these translations won't cut them out. Now, when they go into production later on at various places, that's the kind of decision that directors will be making in the usual way for their own concepts and so on.
Now, you've got 39 plays here, you mentioned, but 36 playwrights then, so almost one per play, but somebody decided to do all the Henrys. Is that what happened?
Well, sort of. Douglas Langworthy is doing the Henry Sixes, 1, 2, and 3, and that happened a couple years ago, and I thought, oh, we'll just do all three of them at once, just see what happens. My feeling is that they were written somewhat in the same time period, which is not necessarily true of, obviously, the whole cycle of the history plays, although they were kind of written in a decade-ish, but that there seemed like this fevered, you know, sequel thing going on for Shakespeare at that time. And I thought, well, that might be interesting to have same voice for three of them. And then Kenneth Cavender has another one. He's doing The Tempest right now, and it just seemed like a good thing to say to him, sure, you could have another one. And what's interesting, that's because one of my rules was to not repeat writers, because I just thought that was fun. But then Kenneth said, could he try another one? And I said, sure. And I was just telling Alan this morning, Kenneth's observation already is that The Tempest is vastly different than Timon in terms of its language use. And I find that fascinating. I mean, the difference between that writer, Two Gentlemen of Verona to Two Noble Kinsmen, every one of these plays has a different kind of linguistic code in it. And that was partly why I wanted different writers. But I also wanted to, again, spread the conversation around. And apparently we have, because the social media has lit up about this, which is awesome and great. No one is neutral on this issue.
Clearly that, not. No.
Yeah, it's great, right? And so we're having this conversation about language, you know?
We're talking about the Oregon Shakespeare Festival's Play On project to rewrite the plays of Shakespeare. Louis Morgan Douthat's OSF's Director of Literary Development. Dr. Alan Armstrong is one of the dramaturgs. You can join in, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Alan, I mean, over the years, you've probably gotten the sense that people really do defend the use of language in Shakespeare and get annoyed sometimes at things like just updatings of the costumes and sets, you know, things that bring it into a different time period. So I can imagine that talking about actually messing with the language of Shakespeare is a gigantic hot potato.
Yeah, that's the hot button issue and has been for a long time. I've been a teacher of Shakespeare for a long time, interested in using performance to open up the plays. But, of course, it's in performance that some of these issues arise. So I've been hearing about other sacrileges wrought against Shakespeare for a long time, modern dress, you know, that sort of thing. But the language, I think, is we have a tendency, I think, in our time to think of the language as the thing about Shakespeare, the thing that makes it special. And there's a truth to that at one
Absolutely.
Level. But at the same time, it's not, I mean, Shakespeare was a playwright. He took most of his stories from other people, but it wasn't just his language he was bringing to it. Also, Louis uses the word plotting, I think, to cover the largest number of these things. But the way in which he shapes the stories that he borrows, the way he breaks them into scenes that vary in their pace and size and color, all of that's part of the mix too. And I think that's something we can get at with the translations as well. That's not just about a particular set of words.
So if the intention is not to go ahead and stage these versions as part of the working through of the canon at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, what will you do with these scripts developed from Play On?
I'm so glad you asked that question because it's kind of complicated. These are new plays. They are owned by the playwrights. You know, like a translation, if I asked you to translate Molière, right, that would be your work. And so that makes it a little odd. Again, this odd hybrid, like what? But they are their work. They're going in and they're really examining it, and I'm asking them to use their vast experience and skill set as dramatists to examine these plays, which is also, I think, a unique component to a certain degree on this kind of examination. So I've always seen this as a two-part process. One is the translation of the base, of a baseline, as it were, whole play, as Alan said. They're not to cut, they're not flipping scenes, they're not conflating it, right? So our project is just those. But what happens after that? They will end up being adapted. If they are produced, they will be adapted. And the second, so they're companion pieces, but they're also be performable. So the part about Shakespeare as the dramatist and wanting things to work and be performable is different than just sort of the sort of literary aspect to the assignment. So they are potentially available for production. And as a matter of fact, Kenneth's Timon was produced at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival last spring, and I thought it was terrific. But to remind, these are new plays. I mean, nobody's saying, well, this is Shakespeare. That they're, you know, in an adapted form, right? So there's always going to be two parts. What we're setting in place as a big exercise is just the base text in quote-unquote translation.
And you've gotten some big-name playwrights, and you're shooting for some diversity with the roster as well.
No, Shakespeare's for everybody, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so I just thought, why don't we just cast an early career, mid-career, late career. Not everybody lives in New York. You know, I mean, it was, you know, some academic, you know, some people who teach. It was, and some of it's just very eclectic. I didn't want to be precious about it. Like, who could do this? A lot of them I know. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say I've given a lot of money to a lot of friends in the last couple of weeks. Artists. And I can't tell you what a great feeling that is.
So what specifically happens with, and I remember reading a specific direction about this, about some of the key lines that people identify with Shakespeare, you know, to be or not to be, but soft.
Hey, they've got to wrestle with it, you know. Mm-hmm. They want to dare do that. Now, you got to remember, you're sitting across a table from a woman who cut double toil and trouble in Macbeth 15 years ago and is still hearing, I know, and still hearing about it. So I obviously come at this with not so much precious, but you know, Lisa Peterson, who is going to direct our production of Hamlet next year, and then after that, translate it, which I think is going to be fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. She'll definitely be versed in it, you know, ready to do. I don't know what she's going to do with that line. I assume she's going to wrestle with it. There's a quarto version, of course, that's different. I mean, even in his time, there was a different version of that speech, too. So I don't know whether she'll take that license or not. I mean, I'm not so sure I'd really go to the mat for making that big a change. The idea is, here's how I'm using translation. It is not just the word for word piece of that, although that's how I've been explaining it last week, just because people are, when we first think of translation, that's what we think of, and it's not that. But our job in the theater, in my opinion, is to translate the conventions of that are inscribed in a two-dimensional art object known as the play to what our conventions are today, right? I mean, and here's some obvious ones. We have an intermission. We have women on stage. We update the time. You know,
things that didn't happen in Shakespeare's mm-hmm. own time.
Okay, that's a kind of translation. I'm asking these dramatists who have the same interest as Shakespeare did, which is, I want people to hear and understand what I'm saying in the moment of saying it, because that's why I'm going through all this trouble with the most complicated kind of human communication I think there is. Theater is, as you know, so immensely dense. There's at least 14 pieces of information in any moment in the theater that you get. So I'm just saying, can we just pull out the language for a second, just see what happens? And I think that there are passages that 400 years ago nobody needed the footnotes for. That's all. So is there a way that we could do a little tweaking to those passages so that I don't need the footnotes 400 years later? And still, when Macbeth goes crazy, I want crazy language. I don't want that clear, because the language, of course, is the metaphor for going crazy. That's the thing I want the dramatists to wrestle with. And dramatists, that's what they do. That's their job, is to make things metaphoric and to use language that way. So who knows? There'll be pluses and minuses. That's always loss with translation. But I think there's gain of other kinds of information and access, which I think has value.
We're talking again about the project called Play On at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, where OSF is updating the work of Shakespeare. It's a Shakespeare translation project, a three-year project to translate 39 of the plays, the 39 plays attributed to William Shakespeare. Louis Morgan Douthat is OSF's Director of Literary Development. Dr. Alan Armstrong is one of the dramaturgs paired with playwrights. You can join this discussion, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So the process of working as a dramaturg with a playwright, how closely do you sit at each other's elbows? Do you email three times a week? I mean, I'm just curious about the whole process of that, Alan.
Alan has worked, Ellen McLaughlin, our Pericles playwright, has worked really fast.
She had to. This is the other thing. That translation, which will then be adapted for production, goes into rehearsal at Orlando Shakespeare Theater in February. So she's really working very fast
to
fast track this. Yeah.
Yeah. But we've worked mostly by email. Alan sent me the first 40 pages of the script,
right,
and I worked over it the way a dramaturg does, trying to make sure the story was being told clearly, and occasionally noticing if language wasn't translated language wasn't capturing something about the original. Pretty much the same thing I would do in an ordinary production. So,
but I can imagine with a lot of creative work, it can go like, you know, 40 pages where there's no issue, and then you spend, you know, 16 emails on five lines
exactly,
on page 41.
Exactly. They're just particular points. We kept going that way. Ellen sent the rest of the script toward the end of September.
Yeah.
We finally met when Ellen came out. Was that just
last week?
Last week.
Yes.
It seems a long time ago. And We had a reading with the cast of the current show of Pericles to test drive the translation, which was really interesting.
Oh, that must have been fun.
And then Ellen and I got to work a little bit on feedback with that, and I think she's off scribbling away, making some changes, and we'll hear by email again later. But it's not very long. There's another reading scheduled in Orlando in November, so that process is moving along pretty fast. But as you say, you know, lines will go by, everything's going smoothly, then you hit one of the rough patches where it's hard to figure things out. And
let's grab some headphones because we got a call here from Jacob in Springfield. Yeah. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about Play On, the Shakespeare Translation Project. Yeah. Hi, Jacob.
Hi. I like to think that Romeo and Juliet would not have taken place if Romeo just text messaged Juliet, like, I am not dead, and hold tight, okay? And we live in an age where every single member of the audience is carrying a cell phone and is surfing the internet during intermission, or at least before. How is that adapted? How texting and cell phone and email, how is that adapted into a Shakespeare play? Because we don't have that surprise and the delight and the mystery that we once had, I guess.
That's true. We don't get a lot of surprises anymore. Thanks for that, Jacob. Appreciate that. Other than the cat videos, those are always surprising. So you mentioned we're just updating language here, so we're not changing circumstances greatly.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So, Jacob, those kind of contemporary references will not be part of the translation process. So playwrights still have to wrestle with swords and doublets and Jove. I mean, what do you do with Jove? and some of these other references, I don't know. I mean, I'm not so sure that we can make everything, quote unquote, sort of instantly clear. And I'm not convinced that that should be the project anyway. There's a beautiful musicality, muscularity, and sort of a sonic logic about hearing the Shakespeare plays is strung in the order that they are already written that I also want to maintain. That's not necessarily logic that way. So it won't be that. That said, I've missed a lot of text, Jacob, in my lifetime, and I read emails out of order, and that can also be kind of disastrous. So I'm not so sure that in our day and age we've got that down.
All right. Well, those won't be appearing in the Shakespeare plays as reworked by the project called Play On, 39 Shakespeare plays being rewritten in more contemporary language. Louis Morgan Douthat is the Oregon Shakespeare Festival's Director of Literary Development. Dr. Alan Armstrong is one of the dramaturgs. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks
for inviting us.
And take care.